Good morning.
This is not on.
Okay. Yeah. Better?
Now I put it on.
Okay.
Is it all right? No, these people try to find ways of limiting my mobility, you know. Earlier, when we didn't have all this, I used to walk right into the middle of the congregation while speaking, you know. So Sam decided this is a bad idea, so he put up this platform. And he warned me that if I walk out of the platform, he's going to put barricades. So I won't attempt that. Now, they've taken away the column mic, you know, so that I can't move. But let me see how much mobility they can restrain, right? Praise God. So we are into another season of Christmas. Isn't it great? Yeah? It is great that we are into another season of Christmas. So what happened to my slides? Okay, thank you. I have to ask, and then only it shall be given. Okay, all right. So, obviously, the air is filled with, you know, festivities. It is Christmas time, right? And we are thinking about caroling. We are, thinking about decorations and things like that. We are obviously thinking about food and cake and, you know, feast and all the things, the nice things that come with Christmas. And, of course, we are thinking about travel. We are thinking about new clothes, you're thinking about gifts, you're thinking about family get-togethers, and it's joyous time. There is joy around, right? And you know, we want to be part of that. It is definitely a joyous time. And it is also a time when we will obviously hear, you know, the much cliched sayings like, look, do not forget the reason for the season, right? Do not forget the person whose birthday you are celebrating, right? Do not commercialize Christmas. Don't turn it into a pagan festival, etc., etc. This is also the time when, there's a lot of arguments start. Is December 25th the actual birthday of Jesus Christ? You know, there are multiple arguments around, you know, is December the actual month itself and all that stuff, you know, so arguments start going on. This is also the time when we start looking at, you know, the people start talking about, hey, what is the actual Christian way of celebrating Christmas, right? Is putting up a Christmas tree Christian, really? You know, should we talk to our little children about Santa Claus? There's a lot of these things, you know, these things go around. The good news is, of course, that whether you are a believer or not a believer, you talk about Christmas, which is good, right? And then we can, of course, you know, look at that and how we can utilize that and things like that. This morning, what I want to do is, I want to spend a little time in thinking about what is God's message. What is God trying to tell us through Christmas? That's what I would like us to, you know, spend a little time on this morning. What is really God trying to tell us through this festival called Christmas? Fine. But before we go there, let us take a look together as, you know, how does the world make sure that we listen to their messages, right? How does the world listen to their, you know that, you know, you know celebrities, one of their major sources of income is through endorsement. You know, they endorse anything under the world, right? You pay them, they will endorse anything, right? So we have, Aishwarya Rai, who will tell you that you're worth it, and so, you know, you've got to buy, if you buy L'Oreal, you're worth it, right? So there is Aishwarya Rai doing that. There is Sachin Tendulkar saying, let the dil mange more, right? Let your heart ask for more, right? So there are, and there is Shah Rukh Khan who says, men can be the fairer sex, if only you use, you know. See, not the fair and lovely, the other version of fair and lovely, right? So there's of course, Kareena Kapoor, who sells the stylishness of the Sony laptops, you know. She is a style icon, so she sells the stylishness of the, and then there is, Sanjay, the macho man, right? He sends the message saying that eating chicken is healthy. Even if there is avian flu, don't worry, eat chicken, right? That's what he tries to send the message through, right? Then, of course, there is Salman Khan, who sells, the travels and hotels and things like that, and says, look, if you buy through my party, I'll give you up to 50% discount and things. I could go on and on, and you know that, you know. And you know, you also know that apart from these, you know, these celebrities, there are businessmen and other people who endorse causes, I mean causes, right? Good causes, bad causes. There are politicians who endorse strategies and things like that. You know, you would see possibly, you know, I mean, good things also happen. There are celebrities who ask us to save the tiger, save the wildlife, drive carefully, wear helmet, wear seat belts. You know, there are, I mean, of course, good causes for environmental causes and things like that. Give aid to ambulances, fight against AIDS. There are celebrities who endorse all these causes, you know, also. Right. So the world around us is all about endorsements. Right? It's all about endorsements. Of course, some of them are good, some of them are not so good. Right? So I mean, if you know, if we this is the way. There are multiple messages out there, and sometimes it could be, you know, it could be a little confusing for us. Now, in the midst of all this, there is one person who is trying to tell us something, who has been trying to tell us something for a long, 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 long time. And that is God Himself. That is God Himself. There are a lot of messages around, and among all that, God wants to tell us something. And He has been trying to do this. He has been trying to do this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. He has been trying to send us a message. And how has he been trying to send us the message? Let's take a look at how he has been trying to send us this message. You know, so of course he first tried through signs and wonders. You know, he tried through miracles, right? He sent the plagues in Egypt. He made sure that it touched the Egyptians but not the Israelites. He even parted the Red Sea right in front of them. He's a person who brought out fire. You know the story of Elijah, right? Elijah was asking the people who worship the Baal, pour more water on my wood and meat, right? And then I will call on my Lord, and fire will come down and, you know, consume it. And it happened. You know, Gideon was doubtful. Hey, are you the real angel? Who are you? You are talking to me. And then the angel had to send the fire that licked up everything that he offered. And then only he could be convinced, right? So there is, you know, he was doing miracles. He was giving signs, you know, and of course he was providing healing even to unbelievers, right? You know the story of Naaman in 2 Kings, where Naaman was healed just because Elisha asked him to go and wash in the Jordan, and that was all that was needed, right? And then he got healed. So God was trying to send us some message through lots of signs and wonders, you know, over a period of time. So, but He didn't stop there. What He did also is he decided that, you know, he will not only send the message through signs and wonders, He will also send it through people. In case signs and wonders didn't speak to you, you didn't want that. So he and you know what He did. He tried to speak through the patriarchs like Abraham. He tried to speak through kings like David and Solomon. He sent a long line of prophets, right from Moses and up to Micah, and who knows who else, you know. And there's a long line of prophets whom He sent, giving the message, right? And he sent beauty queens. If you didn't want, you know, if you didn't like to look at the face of a prophet with the beard and all that, He sent beautiful people. He sent people like Esther, whose qualification was only that she won a beauty contest, right? He used Esther to send out those messages, right? He used macho men like Sanjay Bell, you know. So he used Samson, whose qualification was only that he was strong. He was a womanizer, he was a drunkard, but he was strong, and God wanted to use it, you know, and to send out some messages to you, messages to us. And He used statesmen like Nehemiah, right? And He used poets like David, Solomon, Asaph, and others who wrote all those books of the Psalms and, you know, and extolling God's goodness and what He wanted to do with us and things like that. He used thinkers and intellectuals like Daniel, right? Who could interpret dreams, who could interpret, you know, know, signs and say, okay, look, this is what it means and things like that. He used them. He used warriors. He used people like Gideon, who people like Joshua, who could, you know, raise up, who could just use 300 men to, with of course God's help, to defeat a whole army. So he used warriors. He used the rich people like Job, right? I mean, Job was one of the rich guys. You know, he had a lot of wealth. So he used them. And he used the poor people, like, you know, in 2 Kings again, there is the story of this servant girl who used to serve in Naaman's house. And she was the one who told Naaman's wife, that is, if your master will go and see my prophet in my land, he will be healed. You know? So he used those people. He used magicians like, you know, the Balaam. You know, he was what you call as a conjurer, right? Did I say it correctly? Okay, alright. So he was a magician. He used to, you know, conjure up things from nowhere. So, and I can again go on and on. He used prostitutes like Rahab, right? He used people who couldn't do anything. He has been trying to send a message to the world. Through a very long time, for a very long time, through different media. And he even went to the extent of trying to speak us through a donkey. Right? So you can't blame God for not trying. Whatever else we do, we cannot blame God for not trying to make his message righteous. He's been trying. He has been absolutely been trying. But unfortunately, the stubborn world did not understand the simple message. Stubborn world did not understand the simple message. The world continued to sin and rebel and run away from him. And he knew that these methods are not working. Of course, he knew at the time of creation itself, he knew what he had to do. But he was waiting for the right time. The Bible says that at the right time, he did it. So he knew that, like, look, none of this is working. I can't convey my message through celebrities. I can't pay Amitabh Bachchan a crore of rupees and ask him to say, you know, endorse my message. That wouldn't work here with these people. And he says, look, magicians are not working. So he knew that it was time to pull out what magicians call the ultimate trick out of the hat, right? So he wanted to make sure that the ultimate trick is pulled out. And he knew that the time has come to demonstrate through a personal act, through a very, very personal act, through a very, very personal involvement to convey his message, you know, to convey his message of you know. So he knew that. But before that, let's also look at what was the message that he was trying to convey. What was the message that he was trying to convey? Was it very complicated? Was it very, very difficult message to convey? You know, the fact of life is sometimes it is the simplest of messages that becomes difficult to convey. They're the simplest of messages which become difficult to convey. And his message was not complicated. It was not a complicated message. His message was a simple phrase. I love you. That's all. A three-word sentence. That is all that he wanted to convey. That is all that he was trying to convey. I love you and I want you back. I love you and I want you to come back to me. I love you so much. You know, that there is nothing else, nothing can separate you from me. That is the simple message that he was trying to convey. You know, and his message was this, in his own words, you know, he says this, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt, with rich cushion, Seba Thronin. That is how much you mean to me. That is how much I love you. I would sell off the whole world to get you back. I would trade the entire creation just for you. you know, my wife and my son are my worst critics, or the best critics, whichever way you want to put it. Okay. Right. I'm thankful for that. I'm a much better person because of that. Now this, Leslie told me yesterday that I use this passage too often. Right. And I'm aware of it. And I do use this passage too often because I want myself to know the extent God was willing to go to convey His message, to convey His love. Because this is not something that we hear often. This is not something that, you know, husbands will tell their wives. This is not something that their wives will tell their husbands. This is not something that the children will tell their parents. This is not something that the parents will tell their children. Look, I love you so much that I will sell off everything that I have ever created to get you back. It doesn't happen. Right. So I want us to make sure that, you know, that this, so pardon me for my reputation on this passage, but it is intentional. It is intentional. I want us to realize the God's message. You know, the message that God wants to tell. So this is the simple message that God wanted to tell you. So look, I love you so much that I will not stop at anything in getting you back. I will not stop at anything to get you back. I will do everything. I will sell off. I am the creator. I created this whole world, and I am willing to sell off the whole world that I created to get you back. How much more powerful can a message be? How much more can somebody tell you? You know, how much more can somebody? And of course, God knew that, look, not good enough. I can't convey this message through others. I can't have an Aishwarya Rai or a Kareena Kapoor or a Katrina Kaif, you know, sending down this message. I can't have Salman Khan and Amir Khan sending this message. I need to be able to do it myself. It has to be done through a person like him. That is when he decides that he has to act at a very, very personal level. And that's what he decided to do when he sent out, when he came down. Himself, when he sent out his own son, his only begotten son, as a baby. Now, what's the reason why it's a baby? The baby is a helpless being. It is a human baby. A baby, you can't do anything with a baby. You can't run away from a baby. You got to lie. You got to hug the baby. You got to kiss the baby. You got to carry the baby. You got to care for the baby. You got to feed the baby. You got to wash the baby. There's nothing else you can do. You can't run away from the baby. Right. So God was creating that intimate level that you can't move away from this message. You can't move away from me. I am coming down to you at your level, at the level, and in a helpless manner, that I will seek your help. I will seek your protection. I will seek your care. I will ask for food from you. I will ask for clothing from you. I will ask for comfort from you. I will be with you. I will be with you as a helpless baby. That is the message of Christmas. That is this message. That, you know, and he even made sure that the baby was not born in a palace or in a secluded and protected home of a rich person. He made sure that this baby was sent to a manger. He made sure that this baby was born to somewhere where every single person on earth could have access to. There are no security guards standing around. There are no secretaries to go through. There are no badges to be swiped to get inside. There are no, I mean, there's no permission to be sought. It is an open inn, and it is a manger that the baby was born in. God is telling, I mean, God was literally removing every single excuse that you and me could have in approaching God. God was saying that, look, there is no more excuse for you. I have removed every excuse. There is nothing more that you can say why you cannot come to me. Why you cannot come to me. Now my Bible tells me that God called Jesus Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. My Bible tells me that the world became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The world became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says. Right. And full of grace and truth.
full of grace.
So this was the message that God was trying to send us. And he sent it through this medium, which, I mean, no one can really reject a baby in the world, right? So he sent it through this medium, which would be difficult for anyone to reject who went away to that. So now comes the sad part. I mean, we would think that, okay, it was the Old Testament guys who ran away from God, who didn't want to go to God, who wanted to be rebellious and things like that, right? I mean, all the examples we saw, I intentionally pulled out all from the Old Testament. We would believe that, no, it was the Old Testament guys. And with Jesus coming down as a baby, with the manger, we would believe that there is no reason, no more reason for anyone to stay away from God. There is no more reason for anyone to not to approach God, not to commune with God, not to fellowship with God, not to go and tell Him that I love you. We would believe that. No, that did not happen. 2,000 years later, 2,000 years later after the manger, we still build walls separating the manger from us. You and me. I obviously include myself too. There is, you know, we are continuously building walls that separate us from the manger. I'm going to play a video clip here, and I would like you to, you know, while you watch that, I would like you to think about what are the walls that you associate yourself with. Okay?
All ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem.
I hope we have identified some of the walls that we put up ourselves, right? Let's continue to look at some of them, you know, to see what are the walls we put up generally, right? I categorize these walls into four categories. You know, you saw some of them here, right? And I really categorize them into four categories. The first one is the walls that we put up due to our own actions. Our own actions, what we do. It could be the sins that we commit, it could be the guilt feeling that we carry along, it could be the failures that we have had, you know, and things like that. So we put up walls. We say, Lord God, I can't approach you because of this. Now, of course, all of us have sinned. We have goofed up multiple times. Right? We have goofed up multiple times. We had made mistakes. We have failed miserably in many areas. We have failed as a husband. We have failed as a wife. We have failed as a parent. We have failed as a child. We have failed as a colleague. We have failed at work. We have failed in business. Of course we have failed multiple times. But is that a reason to stay away from the manger? Is that a reason to stay away from God? Because you see, the whole reason why the manger was created is because of the sin. And if we stay away from the manger because of sin, we are belittling, we are demeaning the whole purpose of the manger itself. So that's the first set of walls that we put up ourselves. The second category is actually the walls that we put up because how we feel. This is about, you know, from our past, the things that we carry from our past, the anger, the regrets, you know, and then this feeling of self-abasement, feeling of worthless. That, you know, that I don't have a self-worth, I'm not worth anything, no one cares for me, type of thing, you know. So the feelings based on that, and then the need to do things perfectly. Look, unless I do things perfectly, I'm not good enough, you know, and those type of things, you know. See, we, you know, these walls would believe us that we are not worthy to approach God, approach the manger, right, and hold the baby. But see, the baby in the manger is not judgmental. The baby will put up his hands to you. You may be of what you are, how you look like, what you have done in the past. The baby is not knowing what you have done. The baby is innocent. The baby will smile at you. The baby will, you know, come to you. If only. We will pick up the courage and approach the baby. If only we will break down the wall and go to the baby. The third category of walls is actually the walls that we put up based on what others feel about us. Right? Sometimes we feel afraid of others. Sometimes we want to be, you know, we want to seek approval from others. And sometimes we feel obligated to others. So these are the walls that we put up, you know, this thing. See, obviously, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing things which are not right in the men's eyes. Obviously, the Bible says that you've got to do things which are right in the eyes of God and men, right? So I'm not saying that. But then, we don't need to be always afraid of somebody. We don't need to be always seeking approval. We don't need to be, you know, always feeling obligated. God came down in the form of a baby so that we could be freed. We are free of all these things. We are free of obligations. We are free of fear. You know, so that is what God wanted us to do, right? So the manger was created for us to be free, and we need to, you know, we need to be able to depend on the grace and truth that flow down on that first Christmas. So let's quickly look at the last category. The last category is about how others control us, right? The rules and regulations, the religious practices itself, you know, the group. I'm not talking about the legitimate laws of the land. I'm talking about rules that we put up ourselves, you know. For example, the Baptists say you can't lift your hands beyond this, you know. If you lift your hands beyond this, you're not a Baptist, right? The Pentecostals will say, look, unless you speak in tongues, you're not a Pentecostal. You're not baptized with the Holy Spirit. Right? So there are these rules that bind us. And then there are gurus. All of us, you know, ultimately, whether we are a Christian or not, sometimes we end up creating and accepting and making people as our gurus. Right? And again, one of the rules is that we can, you know, so you start feeling that, look, I can't talk in tongues, so maybe I'm not really baptized by the Holy Spirit. You know, I pray that I am not healed completely. So is it because my faith is lacking? Because I don't have enough faith that I am not healed? Right? And if you know, I don't want to take a name, but if you know, if a guru is a healing, let us talk about a healing evangelist, you know, comes and places his hands on your forehead, if you don't fall down, you get that, right? You got to fall down, man. So, you know, and you can feel ashamed if you don't fall down. You may see that the Holy Spirit is not acting on me.
So these are rules that get created, and we become slaves to those rules sometimes. And because of that, we limit our access to God. We limit our personal relationship with God. So these are the walls, you know. These are the walls that we create ourselves, you know. But then, what we have to understand is that when we build these walls based on such rules and regulations, we completely miss the grace that was given to us through the manger. Grace came down to us in the form of a baby, and unless we are able to approach that baby. Unless we are able to, you know, break down these walls and approach that baby, we are completely missing out on the grace that came down to us through the manger. So, we've seen the walls, right? We've seen the walls that we build. We all have reasons to build such walls. We all have reasons to build this wall. But this morning, God is asking us to break down those walls. This month's theme for BBF is refreshing rain. It is true. This month is of that. Refreshing rain, right? The grace that flowed down, the grace that rained down from heavens. Now, you cannot enjoy a refreshing rain sitting inside a walled, you know, premise. You can't enjoy the refreshing, you can't feel the refreshing rain if you are protected by these walls. You've got to go out. You've got to break down those walls so that that rain can fall on you, drench you, cleanse you, make you fresh. That is what is required. You have to let that rain fall on us, the rain of grace fall on us. And that is really the ask this morning. So let me conclude this morning with the story that Sunday school children are right now, you know, studying. Of course, I could have chosen other characters. I could have chosen, Joni, right? What's her full name?
Joni
Erickson Tada, correct. Yes, so you know, I could have chosen her story. But then our own Sunday school children are learning about a local missionary, a local person who did this. This lady's name is Mary Verghese, Dr. Mary Verghese. Right now, and the Sunday school children are learning that story right now, so it will be good for us to also know what they are learning. Now, Mary Verghese is born in Kerala. Of course, all great men are born in Kerala, right? Isn't it? Yes, see, brother, there are men also saying that. Okay, we'll make an exception, right, Nidish? Mangalore is close enough to Kerala, okay, so Mangalore baby can be a little bit... But no thanks for you, RP. You are all so far away from, you know, Kerala. Kashmir, North Karnataka, no chance, you know. Mangalore, okay, close enough to Kerala. No? Alright, let me get back to my story. Dr. Mary Verghese was born in Kerala. She was born in a very well-to-do family, and she studied medicine in CMC Vellore. And she studied under the founder there, Ida Scala. Right, and she started working on the gynecology department along with Dr. Ida Scala. And in 1954, she met with an accident. She met with a road accident, and she had a serious spinal injury which made her paraplegic. It means she can't move, you know, below her waist totally. Complete spinal cord gone, so there's no control of any body functions below her waist. Now, when she had a choice, she had a choice of regretting it. She had a choice of questioning God. She had a choice of asking God, look, why me, Lord? She had a choice of, you know, telling God that, look, you called me for this ministry, you called me for this job, and you made me a cripple. She had all reasons to be angry with God, and she had all reasons. She had reasons to, you know, stop going to church. She had reasons to stop worshiping the Lord. She had reasons to, you know, be bitter and throughout the life. And we know of people who did that. But then she decided, that is not what I am going to do. If this is the life that God intended for me, I am going to use this life for blessing somebody. So she held on to her faith. She, through help from others, of course a lot of help from God, she actually mastered the art of surgery, regenerative surgery as it is called, of the hand, of lepers, you know, for people who lose their hand because of leprosy and all that. It's a very delicate thing, and then her hands were active, so she decided that she would use her hands, which are active, for this regenerative surgery. So she studied that, and she set up a department, in CMC exclusively for this, for working on the handicapped people and things like that. And she of course set up a trust, which is called the Mary Verghese Trust, which basically blesses the people with disabilities and things like that. And it's thriving. And her, of course, she was awarded the Padma Shri by the Government of India in 1970. 74, 76 or something like that, right? So she had every reasons to be bitter, but she chose not to be bitter about her limitations, her failures. She could have said, "Look, God, you didn't heal me. Why do you expect anything from me now? You broke my bones. You allowed it to happen. Why do you expect anything from me?" She could have said, "Look, this church that I'm going to is not good enough. It's not blessing me enough. It didn't heal me." And she could have moved away into another church and probably tried some miracles and things. But she didn't do any of those. She said, "Look, God, I accept what you have done for me." And of course, she went to the extent, actually, when she, the story says that when she built this trust where they are providing this vocational training for, handicapped people, she made the windows where she had this symbol of Jesus carrying the cross all over. And she didn't want it to be painted, she didn't want it to go off. She actually had some of her people who were working there to actually build it in wire mesh. And each of the windows has that emblem of Jesus carrying the cross. And so that basically, so she was sending out the message. She was sending out the message that, look, immediately what happens to you, you can make a difference. You can be close to God. I'm sure none of us sitting here have got bigger problems than her. Right? I'm sure of that. So, I want to stop with this. I want to stop with this and say, look, if Mary could, right? This was Mary before she actually met with the accident, and then she met with the accident and was wheelchair bound. And this is Mary towards her death, when she was working with other handicapped children and things like that. So my message that God wants us to tell us is this: if Mary Verghese could do this, if Mary Verghese could break down the walls, so can we. So can we. I'm going to request Malcolm and Carol to come up and sing this beautiful song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Right? See, when this baby was born on the first Christmas, Mary didn't know many things. She might have known some of the things, what this child will end up doing, but she might not have, right? But then, she did not know many things. Mary just knew that this was a baby that needed to be taken care of, needed to be fed, needed to be cleansed, needed to be clothed, needed to be put to sleep, needed to be birthed, whatever, right? It is all that she was taking care of him. But then, what's our approach? Knowing that this baby grew up to do a lot of things for us, what's our approach? So as to sing this, you're free to sing along if you know this song. While listening to the song, please, may I encourage you to identify the walls that separate us. Use this time to separate us, identify the walls that separate us from the cradle, and break down them for during this Christmas. I wish you all a Merry Christmas. Thank you.